Today, as we come to the table,
the word special treasure not only means special treasure, but guess it has another meaning, and that is personal property. Is that cool or what? God says, if you obey me and obey my word, you'll be my personal property. Now, I want to belong to the Lord. That sounds exciting to me because that means I'm his child. If I'm his child, that means that I inherit all that the Lord has. That's a pretty exciting inheritance for eternity, is it not? And so he says, you're my personal property. Paul said this, I'm a bond slave under the Lord, meaning not only do I belong to the Lord, I'm his personal property. And it's by willful choice. I willfully submit and give myself to the Lord. And once you understand how good the Lord is, there's no better place to be.
If you've given your life to Christ, you belong to Him. You're His because He paid for you with His own blood. It's the greatest act of love you can find, a sacrifice of self for you. And that's something that everyone deserves a chance to know today. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Pastor Mark will share today about Moses and the Israelites preparing their hearts to follow God. They didn't know the sacrificial act that Jesus would perform later on, but they did know his Father, and they knew exactly what it had cost to be rescued. Sacrificial love has been a theme throughout the Bible, and it will continue to be so as we continue to follow the Israelites' journey. Well, let's join Pastor Mark in Exodus chapter 19 as he begins his message, Preparing Our Heart to Follow.
Why don't we open up our Bibles to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus 19, kind of cool tonight because we talk about preparing a heart to follow the Lord. And really that's what we're going to be looking at as we get into chapter 19. I'm going to cover the whole chapter tonight. It may seem like a lot, but again, I think it'll be easy to cover. And we're not going to jump right into chapter 20, although they flow really well because chapter 20 are the Ten Commandments. And we're going to slow down and look at the Ten Commandments next week. So I wanted to kind of have that intro. But what's really cool to me is to watch how God prepared the hearts of the people in chapter 19 before giving them the Ten Commandments in chapter 20. And that is a principle that we need to learn right off the bat. And really is kind of one of the main things I want us to grasp tonight. And that is this. If we're really going to draw near to the Lord, we've got to prepare a heart that wants to draw near to the Lord. Does everybody understand that? In other words, yes, Jesus died for you on the cross. If you've received the Lord, you are born again, you are saved. But there is something we do, and that is we prepare our hearts to seek the Lord. If we're living like the world, if we're acting like the world, if we're just ignoring God's word and doing whatever in the flesh, then we're not going to really receive everything God has for us. The Bible talks about grieving the Spirit of the Lord. And we can grieve God's Spirit if our heart is not ready and if our heart is not prepared. But guys, if our heart is ready and if our heart is prepared, then God can just pour into us. I mean, we just open up and God just pours it in. There's that old hymn, you know, stay under the spout where the glory comes out. And the bottom line is God wants to pour the glory out on us, but a lot of times we get out from under the spout. And it's not that we're not saved. It's not that we're no longer, you know, going to heaven. That's not the point of that whole mindset. The mindset is that if we stay in a place where God can pour into us, God's going to pour into us. Somebody was saying to me just today, saying, you know, I talk to people and I try to share the Lord and help them to understand, you know, the excitement I have, the joy I have, what God is doing, and they just don't seem to get it, but they're believers. And I was telling them, I said, look, it depends on whether our heart is really prepared to receive, whether we can receive. And I know we all are in different places, and sometimes it's quiet where God doesn't speak as loudly and all that. But we need to have our heart in a place where God can speak into our lives and our lives can really change. That's what chapter 19 is about. Israel is now coming to Mount Sinai, the place of the law being given. And God is going to give the law, and God is going to prepare their hearts to receive the law so that he can speak to them and get them where he wants them to be in heart and in mind. Now notice that, two things. We have to be ready to receive from the Lord in heart, but we also have to be ready to receive from the Lord in mind. I mean, this whole process is not just a heart thing. It's not just a feeling thing. If we go just on feelings, what happens? We're going to veer off the course of God's word. And that's what a lot of believers do. They veer off from solid doctrine, solid teaching, because they just follow their emotions and their feelings. And I'll tell you, our feelings and emotions can be all over the map depending on our personality. Then you got the other side where people only seek the Lord with their mind. And now they don't have any emotion. It's all mental. It's all of the doctrine. And let's keep the doctrine straight. And it's boom, 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 and that many points, and everything's right in order. Well, that's great too. But you can be so right that you're dead right. And there's no really emotion. There's no connection to the Lord of the other human fact. God made us to be emotional beings. But if we only go with emotion, we're going to veer off and get weird. Okay? God's made us to be mental beings. But if we only go mental, we're going to become so dead and stuffy that we're not going to enjoy the freedom of the Lord. Does everybody see the balance here? And I think that to find that balance, we just have to say, all right, God, I'm going to have solid doctrine. I'm going to really study your word and make sure that I'm right doctrinally, but I'm not going to be afraid to feel the Lord. I'm not going to be afraid to experience. You know, God loves to give us that experience and those feelings as well. You know, you look at an earthly marriage, and God has set an earthly marriage up the same way that our spiritual marriage is in heaven. Now, when we're in heaven, I think there's going to be that constant, matter of fact, I know there's going to be that constant connection of the mental and the emotional and the feelings and everything that goes with it, because we're going to be in that perfect environment. We're not going to have the sinful flesh we're battling. But God has given us a picture in marriage of what it's like right now in these bodies, in that there are times that the emotions and the feelings are really high. I mean, there's just these great emotions and great feelings and, you know, this kind of thing. And then the marriage goes through times where there's maybe not as much feeling, but the marriage is still just as deep and the love still as strong. You see the difference there. And so with our relationship with the Lord, we may not always feel the Spirit of God. And then there's times we're going to feel the Spirit of God so heavy, it's like, Lord, I don't ever want this to end. You know, like Peter and John, let's just build some tabernacles up here. Let's stay. This is glorious. And God says, no, we've got to go back down the mountain, you know. Jesus said this, we're to love the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. You see, the spiritual, the emotional, the fleshly, everything is part of it. And so we have to have our heart prepared. We have to have our mind prepared for what God is going to do. And it's a decision to make the right steps, to get our heart in the place that it's got to be. We have to make that decision. All right, I'm choosing to follow the Lord. I'm going to choose to do the right things. And then once we get our heart in the right place, now God can begin to pour into that heart. But if we don't put our heart in the right place, God wants to bless us, but he can't always do what he wants to because we're not in the place we need to be. So here's the main goal of tonight. Let's get our heart where God can bless. Let's set our minds to seek the Lord. In the scripture, it talks about, you know, God moving in someone's heart because they set their heart to seek the Lord. So this is what God's doing with the nation of Israel tonight, setting their heart to seek the Lord. And that's where we get into in 19, because again, now once their heart is set and their mind and emotions are lined up with God, then God began to pour the word into them in chapter 20, which again, we'll get to next week. But look at verse 1 in chapter 19. In the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day, note that, I underlined that. On the same day, they came to the wilderness of Sinai. Now, why did I underline that? Because I never noticed this before, but this is so cool. When you go back and you look at the first Passover that they had as a nation when they came out of Egypt, guess what? It was 50 days before this day. Now, does that ring a bell with anybody? If I gave you time, I know it would. Guess what comes 50 days after the Passover? Pentecost. See, the church was born on Pentecost. 50 days after the Passover, the church was born. Now, 50 days after their first Passover in the wilderness, the Old Testament church is born. As God brings them to Mount Sinai and gives birth to this new movement, birth to this new church, and there's going to be an amazing event here that's going to happen, just like the amazing event that happened with the early church that we studied in the Acts. Remember, they were all gathered together. God poured out his Spirit and all the gifts and all these things began to happen. Well, now they're at Mount Sinai and we're going to see this thunder and this lightning and the power of God and a manifestation of God's Spirit. So this is like the Pentecost of the Old Testament, if you will. Literally, it is 50 days afterwards, and they haven't, all the feasts have not been enacted yet, but Passover had. And so this is kind of that foreshadowing where God gives birth to the Old Testament church, even as he gave birth to the New Testament church on the very same day. And that is so cool to me. Is our God a specific God or what? I love it. And so that's why I underlined on the same day. They're in the wilderness, and this is the day that God is announcing to them. Again, they're going to be a special treasure and a special people to him. We're going to see that in just a minute. So this shows this day of Pentecost for the Old Testament, if you will. For they had departed from Rephidim and had come to the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. Now notice this, they departed from Rephidim. Remember last week what Rephidim meant? Resting place. And now they've come to Sinai, which interestingly enough means thorny place. You ever been there? Has God ever moved you from a place of rest to a thorny place? Like, Lord, this was so easy. I mean, this happened to me just this week. You know, I was in this place of just enjoying the Lord, this place of rest. And maybe that's what God did. You know, I find in my life that God sends me through the things I'm going to be teaching on. So I can look ahead and go, oh, no, this is going to be a tough week. Or it's going to be a great week, you know. But no, really, no joke. God does that with me a lot. And it just occurred to me that happened again this week. But I was in a place of rest, suddenly thrown into a place of a little bit of turmoil, kind of a thorny place, if you will. And now they go from that place of rest into Sinai, the thorny place. And the point is this, God will do this in our lives. He will suddenly move us from a place of rest to a thorny place. And he'll suddenly move us from a thorny place, you know, a place that's really sticky, into a place of rest. He does both. Why does God do that? You ever wonder, God, it was so good just yesterday. And then today I got this ticket, you know, and now all my joy is gone. Well, you can kind of tell what happened. I didn't really get a ticket, but I caused the ticket. You know, this whole hellstorm, and I might as well tell you now, the whole hellstorm, the van was total. Well, I called it my salvation title by accident today, but the salvage title, which you get when it's totaled out, they won't do it, so you have to get a salvage title. Well, I didn't realize when you got your salvage title from the state, and by the way, if any of you guys did this, you have to go get new tags immediately and put them on, because if you don't, these blue lights come on. And they pull your wife over and she's mad at you when you come home. I'm going to kill my husband. I'm like, what? What? Right? But it's my fault because I didn't know that and didn't do it. And I'm like, just enjoying the Lord. Life is good. Having so much fun. I go, oh man. Now, then I get this. Then I go on and try to find my salvage title. I've only had it, what, 2 or 3 months? I lost it. So then I write the state today. It goes in the mail tomorrow. And I wrote on my note, I've got to be in a court date in 3 weeks by the time you get this so that I can prove I really have a salvage title so I can take care of that. Anyway, now that's a small trial, okay? We're talking a small trial. But you go from this place of just kind of sitting back, just it says, God, it's good right now. There's no problems. And all of a sudden, there's just you step in this thorn patch. And you think, God, why do you do this? And here's why God does this. Because God wants to grow us. If life was always easy, we would never mature. We would all stay exactly where we are, and it'd be awful. Now, I don't like the growth process, but we've all heard the term growing pains. And if we're going to grow, we've got to go through a little bit of pain to grow. So God will say, all right, things are good. I gave you some rest. You enjoyed that. That's really sweet. I've got more rest coming. Don't worry, there's a lot. And there's rest for eternity. But right now, I've got to grow you in this area. So here comes some thorns, and boom, there we are. We've left, you know, Rephidim, and now we're suddenly in Sinai. It's funny because we're looking at the law, and it was the law that I got in trouble with. But anyway, listen, when that happens, guys, don't be shocked by that. It's a place of maturing. It's a place of growth, place of maturity. So God is now taking them to a new step in their walk with the Lord. He wants them to learn to rest. Listen, we have to learn to rest in the thorny place as easily as we rest in Rephidim, don't we? That's hard. I'm not there yet. Sometimes I get glimpses of it. Sometimes I'll be in a place rest is easy. We've all got that one down. But then I'll get in a thorny place, and it's like I'll have a moment of rest going, you know what? This is a really thorny place right now. I mean, I'm kind of here at the law. I'm in Mount Sinai. But you know what? It's going to be all right. And that's sweet when that happens. For about 3 seconds, then panic sets in. But God's growing me. And so, you know, it's getting better. But notice what they did, or it says they departed from there and they went to the wilderness of Sinai, okay, the thorny place. But notice they did the exact right thing. Whether they knew what they were doing or not, God did it for them. And here's another principle for us. They camped right there in the wilderness before the mountain. Note that. What's my point? This was the mountain of God. And when you are in a thorny place, where should you be camping out? The mountain of God. You've got to just seek his face. Fall at the mountain and say, Lord, I am in a thorny place right now. I don't like this, but I trust you, and I believe in your power, and I ask now, God, that you would just camp there. I mean, just camp there as long as it takes. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in the Word. Seek him every day. I'm staying in this campsite. I'm not leaving this campsite, Lord, until you deliver me from this situation. And then we should always be with the Lord. We never leave the Lord, but you get my point. When we're in that thorny place, sometimes we need to really draw in closer, don't we? I think about Jacob. Remember wrestling with the Lord at the Ford Jabbok? And he's holding on to the Lord's robe. I remember Tracy, God ministered to her this something one time that has always, it's always ministered to me and stuck in my brain ever since she said it. She's talking about that hanging on to the Lord's robe, not letting go until he's blessed. Lord, I'm not letting go till I'm blessed. And this whole picture, she was talking about hanging on, just hanging on till you get blessed, not letting go. And, you know, I just have that picture of me holding on with those white knuckles, you know. I'm not letting go, Lord. I'm going to stay camped right here because you're the one that I need. You've allowed this thorny place. You might even have put me in this thorny place, which means you're going to deliver me from it. But I'm hanging on. I'm not letting go. And this is sweet. So God, they don't know what they're doing, but God has them camping out here because that's what they need to be doing. And Moses, notice, went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and to the children of Israel. So the first time he goes up, he says, now you tell him this. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you out to myself. So go ahead and remind them of my great power. You saw the miracles. You saw the plagues and all that. You saw me splitting the Red Sea and all that happened. Go down and remind them of that. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice, he says, because I've done all this, I've been so faithful to bring you here. If you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant. Notice those two things. Obey my voice and keep my word, we would say. Here's what he's asking them to do. And by the way, that's all he's asking us to do, guys. This is for us as well. I know this is a promise for the nation, but God says that we too will be a special people to him if we will do this. If we will obey his voice, if we will obey his word, that is the covenant, then you shall be, note this, I love it, a special treasure to me above all people, for the earth is mine. Now again, I know the direct application is the nation of Israel, but God has said the same thing to us. If you will give your life to me and you will obey me and obey my word, I will make you a special treasure unto me. The Bible, Jesus said that. He said, you're special to the Father. It's God's delight to give you the kingdom. In the New Testament, it calls it a peculiar people. Here he calls it a special treasure. It's the same idea. Somebody that's set apart for God. You ever wanted to know the important people? You ever wanted to be loved and special to the important people? Come on, everybody, anybody ever had that? You are. You are the important. You are loved by God Almighty, the one that everyone wants to know. You are loved by him. You're a special treasure to the Lord if you obey and keep the word of God. That's really cool. And again, he's making the promise to the nation. Sadly, the nation didn't do this. They didn't obey him. They didn't keep the covenant. And so they still are a special treasure to a degree, but they missed out on the blessing. They didn't stay under the spout where the glory comes out. Still a people called by his name, but missing out so much because they didn't walk with the Lord in obedience. And you know what? If we don't walk with the Lord in obedience, how much do we miss out? You know, God says to you tonight, I want you to be special to me. How foolish to turn that down. Well, you know, Lord, I'm too busy. I've got a lot of important people to meet next week, and I appreciate your invite. Who could be more important than God? Nobody. And I love this because the word special treasure not only means special treasure, but guess it has another meaning, and that is personal property. Is that cool or what? God says, if you obey me and obey my word, you'll be my personal property. Now, I want to belong to the Lord. That sounds exciting to me. Because that means I'm his child. If I'm his child, that means that I inherit all that the Lord has. That's a pretty exciting inheritance for eternity, is it not? And so he says, you're my personal property. Paul said this, I'm a bond slave under the Lord, meaning not only do I belong to the Lord, I'm his personal property. And it's by willful choice. I willfully submit and give myself to the Lord. And once you understand how good the Lord is, there's no better place to be. And that's what he's doing here. That's exactly what the Lord's doing for them. He can do, and he wants anyone who obeys him to be his, because he can do this and do what he wants because the earth is his and he made it. You know, he's the owner of it. It's really cool. I mean, when you think about all these things that the world has and you think that God really owns them all and you're his kid, that's pretty exciting, isn't it? I mean, what's it going to be like in the millennial kingdom when the Lord comes back and we own the entire earth? We talk about a real estate transaction. And God tells them, you know, he says, you'll be a special treasure to me above all people. And notice verse 6, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests. Note that. And a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So go tell them they'll just obey and keep my word. They'll be a special treasure. They'll be my special property. They will belong to me. They will be a kingdom of priests. They'll be a holy nation. These are amazing promises. They blew it. They blew it. They didn't obey. And they lost these promises. It's just amazing. Notice he said there'll be a kingdom of priests. Does this ring any bells? It should, because in Revelation it says that we now, the Gentiles, the church, will be a kingdom of priests to the Lord when he comes back. So God has given us the same promise if we will simply give our lives to the Lord. obey him and obey his word, we'll be a kingdom of priests. We're going to all be priests. We're going to rule and reign with him. And again, the sad thing is the nation of Israel, because of their rebellion, never saw this promise fulfilled. See, this was a conditional promise for them. If you know the Lord, then that promise is yours to keep, because he's given that to the church. But in the law, it was something that if you didn't keep, you didn't get it. Conditional promise. As a matter of fact, we're going to see that not only were they not a kingdom of priests, what was the only tribe that became priests? Levi. One tribe. One tribe out of 12 became priests, and he promised all 12 they'd be what? Priests. Every one of you are going to be priests unto the Lord, the whole nation. And yet, only one tribe got to be because they disobeyed. How sad is that? And I think there's a whole picture in here of the promises God gives to us. There's not special people in the kingdom. He loves all of us. We all have access to his glory and his throne. But we have to be obedient to the Lord, and we have to obey the Lord and love him. And God has so much for us. They blew it. So Moses came and called the elders of the people and laid before them all the words which the Lord commanded them. So first he gets his leadership together. You know, your leadership has to be unified before you can do anything with the body. So he gets the leadership together, make sure they're on board with what God has spoken to him. Then all the people answered together. He now speaks to the people. They answered and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Right. We're going to see they didn't hardly do any of this. So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. So now Moses, to the second time, goes to the Lord. God gave him the message. He took it to the people. Moses goes back and he tells the Lord this message and what's going to be happening. And again, although they say they're going to do it, they don't. Now, I want to be not too hard on them. I will be hard on them later because they absolutely are in full-fledged rebellion before too long. And probably already in heart here, but does this not sometimes describe us when it comes to the law? That is, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's why I'm glad we don't live under the law. We're not under the law. We don't have to keep the law. And although oftentimes, even when we're not under the law, we want to do what God says, and you know, we try, but we can't. It's like, Lord, I'll never do that again. You ever said that? Let me count to 10. Yep, you did it again. So did I. Why? Because we're flesh. We have to go to God and say, God, I don't want to do it again. Now you deliver me from it. Take it away. Remember, we talked about the goldsmith heats up the gold. And what? All the junk floats to the top. The goldsmith scoops off the junk, throws it away, and he knows that the gold is purified when he looks in and sees only himself. But was that a work of the gold? You know, was the gold down there, you know, getting rid of all the impurities themselves? The gold wasn't even straining. They're just down there getting heated up. And I know when I get heated up is when the junk floats to the top. Ever been there? So God will heat us up. The junk floats to the top. And then in this, boop, that kind of, oh, what was that? You know, and it could be anything. I've had that happen throughout my life. That kind of boop. Oh, man, I didn't know that was in there. When did that happen? God said, it didn't just happen. It's always been there, Mark. I just now showed you. Now give it to me. Okay, Lord, take that boop, you know, that bubble, whatever it is. Get rid of it. And God takes the bubble and does away with it. And it looks down and sees a little bit more of Jesus. Isn't that cool? Because what that takes, well, pardon the pun, but that takes the heat off of me. See, I don't have to make that happen. I just have to recognize it, acknowledge it, and then look up to him, the goldsmith, and say, help. And he does it. And this is what God is doing for the nation here. It's exactly what he's purifying them. He's telling them that they're going to, if they'll just do these things, they're going to be a special people. Moses is now taking the word back. They say they're going to do it. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I come to you in the thick cloud that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. So I'm going to back you up, Moses. I'm going to show the people that I'm with you. And it wasn't just so they would recognize that God was with their pastor, if you want to put a modern day application to it. God was going to use Moses throughout the centuries. He's using Moses tonight, isn't he?
The Old Testament book of Exodus might sound like a far-fetched plotline for a movie with lots of CGI, but the truth is, the accounts in Exodus actually happened, and there were startling results for the Israelites, as well as for the people of Egypt. God proved his sovereignty, reigning over weather, an entire nation's economy, and most importantly, the hearts of people. There was much loss and devastation that occurred due to consequences that God handed out in Egypt, but through this, he showed his might, power, and ability to bring his people who were imprisoned to a state of freedom. Now that's a plot line to get behind, seeing God bring about redemption on a grand scale. If you're wrestling with anything you've heard today about God or his ways, we'd be happy to talk with you and pray about anything that feels unsettling. You can fill out a question or comment form at thewaymedia.net. Under the Come to the Table link, you can also give our church office a call at 865-609-1385. Again, that's 865-609-1385. 609-1385. If you're in the Knoxville area, please come join us at Calvary Knoxville. Simply go to thewaymedia.net and find the link at the bottom of the homepage to get service times and directions. If you'd like to hear more teachings from this series, we encourage you to find them on thewaymedia.net or download the Way Media app. Pastor Mark has more to share from this book next time, so make sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.